You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 604
on flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh, hi.
And welcome back, Ed.
Hey, everybody.
Ed's back. We lost Ed last week. We had to take a break in the middle of the flop fight. We don't know what happened.
There was trouble in the ring.
Ed was running from the law.
We're just glad to have you back safe and sound, Ed.
Yeah, well, other than the incident at the border, I made it back safely.
There was an incident. Let's leave it at that.
Did Kevin try to pin the stealing of the supercomputer on you?
You know, I drove right by NASA, and they are still furious over that whole...
A lot of lawyers were involved, a lot of bail money, but we're all back here to finish the flop fight this week. This is happening. However... Just to get us started before jumping back into the game, Cornflake, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
It's a relevant one, if I do say so myself, you know, with all the latitude I have for creating this segment some weeks, it's still tough to pick the perfect National Whatever Day, but not this week, not with the perfect match of a milestone birthday for a game show celebrity host.
Oh, that's perfect.
Ooh. It's perfect.
Everything's coming together. Who are we celebrating?
Well, it's somebody who's already been cast out of the flop fight, I'm afraid.
Oh,
but
happy birthday to a loser.
Yeah. Turning 90 this week on December 4th is Wink Martindale.
Wow, yes.
Mr. Tic-Tac-Toe himself.
I suspected he was getting on in years, but yeah, I knew he was still alive, still out there somewhere. Okay, Wink.
Still around. Tic-Tac-Toe, for which he's probably best known, began airing in the 70s, but... Did you know about his first ever game show that he hosted?
I suspected that he must have hosted a million other game shows over the years, but I can only think of one or two, and by one or two, I mean one other game show of his. What did he start with?
In the mid-60s, it was a show called What's This Song?
Oh, I never heard of that.
It probably pretty relevant for him because he got his start in radio.
Is the answer to What's This Song, Let's Go by Wang Chung? Did I win?
Pretty sure it was Enigata DeVita.
Well, I'm pretty close.
Yep.
Now, if you were researching Wink Martindale, did you look into it? I had this bizarre memory that he had a hit song sort of like telling a story about a deck of cards. Can you confirm that?
Yes.
Yes? Was I correct?
You are correct about that. Hey. I'm surprised. I didn't think anybody else in the world knew that, but yeah, he had a song called Deck of Cards, and it made it all the way to number 7 on the Hot 100 chart.
I heard it a few years ago. I don't know why, but somehow I heard that thing. It's ridiculous, but it happened.
It did.
Just like Tic-Tac-Toe happened, it was ridiculous.
It was just as ridiculous as his entire future game show career. Yes. Do you have other shows or things that he hosted?
Well, yeah, but I don't think any of that is nearly as interesting as his dogs. I feel like we got to talk about his dogs.
I don't know anything about Wink Martindale's dogs.
All his dogs.
There was a time that he brought a couple of them on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. At that time, one of the dogs was named after Elvis because he was close personal friends with Elvis.
Oh,
he and his wife, Sandy.
Yeah, that sounds familiar as well. I think I heard him on a podcast. It might have been Allison Rosen's podcast a few years back. Yeah, this sounds familiar. Wink knew Elvis. That's crazy.
But more recently, he's begun to name his dogs, of which he has several, after his game shows.
Oh.
I cannot find a reference anywhere to what the dogs are named. All I know is that they are named after game shows, and I think that's hysterical.
I guess the obvious thing to do would be like Tick and Tack and Doe, you know, if he had three.
That's kind of perfect right there.
Or one of them could be the dragon.
Yeah, dragon dog.
You know what? One strong memory I have of Tick, Tack, Doe is they were sticklers back in the day about the answer being exactly correct word for word, to the extent where it was ridiculous. I literally have this memory. There was a question where the answer was Yellow Submarine, you know, by the Beatles. And it was something like, what was the cartoon movie underwater that the Beatles made? You know, some perfectly obvious thing like that. And the player said Yellow Submarine, and Wink was like, that's it. And they move on to the next one. And then suddenly this off-screen voice of God announcer would chime in going like, Wink, Wink. The correct title is not Yellow Submarine. It's The Yellow Submarine.
Aww.
And they took the guys like X or O away from him.
Wow.
I mean, what are we doing?
I'm glad I blocked out that particular memory in my head.
Yeah, I remember the judge, and he had this whiny voice, and he'd break right in, Wink. There's a new Wink Martindale, by the way.
There is?
Yeah, a sports guy.
Oh, yeah, he goes by Wink.
I've seen him a couple of times in football games. There's a coach or an assistant coach or somebody, I believe.
He's a defensive coordinator for the New York Giants.
Yeah, New York Giants, because they just played our local and horrible New England Patriots just this past weekend. So they kept mentioning Wink Martindale during the game.
Yeah, I guess that could get confusing real quick.
We have two Wink Martindales now. I remember a later Wink Martindale game show called Debt, D-E-B-T.
Yeah.
I used to watch Debt. It was really stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, and this was well, like in the...
Why I wasn't going to mention it.
I want to say this was in the 90s. But, yeah. But it was like the players were all in debt. They'd come on and say, hi, I owe $6,000 to Visa. And then they'd play the game trying to get out of debt.
Kind of a miserable premise.
It was just like a generic, you know, answer trivia questions, kind of a Jeopardy format sort of a game. But it was debt. Everybody was in debt. And there's Wink Martindale.
Well, we got to keep it light around here. So should we mention his YouTube channel? I think we should.
Wink has a YouTube channel?
He has his own YouTube channel and he keeps it current. Wow. He posts pilot episodes of game shows.
Look at Wink at 90 years old, keeping up with the kids on YouTube.
Probably monetizing it with commercials and everything. Now,
is this really Wink running the channel, or does he have like younger minions doing his bidding?
It's his dogs.
The dogs are in charge of YouTube. Yeah, that's got to be what's really going on.
Tick, Tack, and Doe are the dogs running the YouTube channel. That is my final answer.
Tick, Tack, and Doe run the show.
Well, whatever they're doing, it's working. Because look, we are still, to this day, a nation obsessed with Wink Martindale. Look, everybody in the NFL has taken on the name Wink Martindale. Everybody loves Wink. Happy birthday, Wink, who has already been tossed out of this flap fight.
As I recall, it was because he was did not make an adequate train conductor.
That's right. Knocked out in round one by Vanna White. So this is a flop fight. We did part one was 2 weeks ago, two episodes ago. And it really was. Like, we're not just recording these all at the same time. It really has been 2 weeks since we got together to do this, to the extent that
I almost forgot what we were flop fighting about.
I can't even remember who the other players are who are going to be randomly drawn this week, because I've had these coffee mugs full of the little slips of paper with all the contestant names on them. They've just been sitting here in the studio untouched for 2 weeks. But we're going to be drawing at random characters, people associated with game shows. They're going to face off two at a time, tournament style. The winner this week is going to face off the final round this week. Will be against the winner from 2 weeks ago. Do you remember who won 2 weeks ago?
The Whammies ran away with it, yeah?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, see, it's been so long, you forgot who won. Ed, do you remember who won?
I do remember who won. It was America's most favorite game show host, Guy Smiley.
Yeah.
Ah, right, right.
Sesame Street's Guy Smiley. In your heart, Cornflake, the Whammies will always be the winners, of course. But no, Whammies were also knocked out by Vanna White. She was burning through this contest for quite a while there. But yeah, Guy Smiley was the winner of part one of the flop fight. So whoever wins right now is going to face off against a Muppet.
They should all be shaking in their game show host shoes.
Oh yeah, so let's go. Let's get right into this. I'm reaching into the mug to draw our first player for this week. And I've drawn a probably not best known as a game show host, but she certainly did host a game show back in the 80s or 90s, I'm going to say. I drew from Win, Lose, or Draw, Vicki Lawrence. And Vicki Lawrence probably better known from Mama's Family. This is Mama, of course, from Mama's Family and the old Carol Burnett show and such. But yeah, she was hosting. I think they had two hosts, like Bert Convy hosted Win, Lose, or Draw, and also Vicki Lawrence. And again, we were trying to make this a little more diverse than game show hosts tend to be on average, which is a big heap of guys that just all look exactly like Wink Martindale. And so wherever possible, we're trying to put some women and some other types of folks into the flop fight. And so, not one of your all-time legendary game show hosts, but Vicky's going to play. Did you watch Mama's Family? Will anybody admit to watching Mama's Family?
It was on.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't go out of my way to watch it, but...
A lot of people think it was stupid, and it's hard to argue with those people.
For sure.
It was pretty ridiculous. Super talented lady, though.
Yeah, she played that character well.
She was just absolutely all in on that character, you know, which grew out of just a skit on Carol Burnett's show. But and she had a hit song before that, like early 70s, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. That was Vicki as well. She was just in town in Providence a few weeks ago. She was one of the celebrity guests at the Rhode Island Comic Con, which I did not go to, but we could have met Vicki Lawrence.
That's nice.
We did not.
And the world is better because of
I feel like I could have done some damage on Win, Lose, or Draw. It's like Pictionary. You know, it's like charades, but you draw.
I vaguely recall.
I concur, Kevin. You would have crushed Win, Lose, or Draw.
I feel like I would have done pretty well on that show. Did you ever play Pictionary or Win, Lose, or Draw? The home game versions?
No, but I played Boob Tree once.
We played some Boob Tree, absolutely. Boob Tree. That is a drawing game, though, so that's relevant.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, Vicki is playing Mama from Mama's Family, and of course, Win, Lose, or Draw. Let's see who Vicki is going up against. I have drawn Dick Clark.
Awesome.
Legendary.
I mean, where do you begin with Dick Clark, who's certainly a classic game show host as well as every other kind of host and broadcaster you could possibly be.
A true everyman.
Yeah, and I mean, American Bandstand would be probably his first big show, which he did for a million years. Like, that was a huge show with the kids in the 50s and 60s. But then it somehow just limped along into the 80s. It was still on, even though nobody watched it. You know, we didn't watch American Bandstand when we were kids.
No.
No.
That was one of those signals, cartoons are over, turn the TV off. Yeah. One station has Candlepin Bowling, and you flip the other channel, and there's Dick Clark with American Bandstand, and you're done. You bail out.
Run outside and play.
But yeah, that was probably America's first major exposure to Dick Clark would have been Bandstand, but he certainly did so many game shows over the years. The pyramid, right? $25,000 pyramid, and there were several different dollar amounts, I think, versions.
Yeah, wasn't there a $64,000 pyramid?
I think that was a different show. There was a $64,000 question.
Ah, I have mashed them up in my head.
Just make one big game show.
For efficiency.
Out of everything, it's fine. Yeah, and Pyramid, that was a good show. It was similar to Password. You know, similar format, but they kind of picked up the pace a little bit. Fun show. But he did a lot of game shows. I remember him hosting several other kind of lesser-known shows that did not run as long as Pyramid. He did a bunch. He did a show like in the early 80s, I want to say, called The Krypton Factor, which was a cool show. Because it was like a game show with trivia questions and stuff. Plus it would be like memorization skills and stuff, memorization tests and math and science kind of stuff. And then there would also be an obstacle course. The contestants would go outside and have to run some kind of crazy physical obstacle course. They were just kind of mashing everything into one big ridiculous show, The Krypton Factor. That was another Dick Clark show.
Did Superman ever have to compete on The Krypton Factor?
See, that's probably the reason I watched it as a kid, because I was like, what? Krypton Factor? Where's Superman? So I would tune in and watch every week. No Superman, but still a pretty cool show as these things go. And then what about the bloopers and practical jokes?
Who can forget?
Now that's the stuff.
That's all we cared about in the 80s.
That's what we did before YouTube.
All he had was Dick Clark and Ed McMahon with their bloopers. So yeah, Dick spent decades just making goofy shows for the people, and he's facing Vicki Lawrence. Now the question is, what are they doing? What is the nature of the competition? I'm going to reach into the other coffee mug, which has our competitions.
And I bet you're going to pull hosting Rocking New Year's Eve.
Oh, Dick's New Year's Eve show. Also legendary. Good call.
Can you imagine Vicki Lawrence hosting
that? She could do it in the mama costume.
Yes, yes. Try to stay up till midnight.
I have drawn, and again, as a reminder, Ed supplied all the competitions for the flop fight. I have drawn Food Taste Tester.
Wow.
Vicki Lawrence, Dick Clark, testing food.
I thought Dick Clark was going to run away with this, and now I am not so sure.
Now, as Mama, Vicki Lawrence was, kind of a Southern lady, and they certainly know their food, their home cooking, you know. Dick Clark, I'm trying to think, did Dick Clark have a lot of experience with food in all his various projects?
I don't know, but he seemed perpetually happy, and so I would not trust his feedback on food. I think he'd try to smile and be polite about it, even if it was bad.
Oh, such a seasoned broadcasting professional. He'd show no emotion as he chomped into something disgusting. What were your thoughts, Ed, on Food Taste Tester being a competition? How do you imagine this playing out?
It's a classic example of what can go wrong or right in a flop fight. You have a seasoned person like Dick Clark. You say, he is absolutely going to crush poor Vicki Lawrence, who did a game show that nobody remembers.
I'm the only one that remembers. Yeah, if they're just facing off just game show host versus game show host, Vicki is being crushed by a behemoth in Dick Clark.
But who do I want tasting food?
Right.
I think I have to go Vicki Lawrence.
Interesting. This could be a major upset.
This would be as bad as Regis getting tossed out on the first round by Guy Smiley.
Which is exactly what happened in part one. Yeah, Vicki, I feel like she has more experience with food. Do you think Vicki got to sample any of that weird Rhode Island food a couple of weeks ago when she was at Rhode Island Comic Con?
Oh, yes. Let's think about this possibility.
Did somebody hand Vicki a coffee milk and some wieners?
Coffee milk and wieners.
I'm not sure, but I do know that there is a brand of potato chips called Vicki's, and they're delicious. Those must be Vicki Lawrence's chips.
Yeah, let's assume that Vicki has her own line of potato chips.
Yeah, and even in Rhode Island food, I think Vicki Lawrence will come out ahead. You know, even you throw her a cabinet and a dynamite sandwich.
A dynamite
sandwich. And Dell's ice cream. She's going to be fine.
Some Dell's, some clam cakes. She's good to go.
Oh, yes.
And some Miss Vicki's BBQ chips.
Let's do it. I think this is a huge upset, but it's happening. Vicki Lawrence advances. Let's go to our next contestant.
I can just feel our audience hating us right now.
Everybody's furious, but that's business as usual around here. I have drawn, I don't think she ever hosted a game show, but I could be wrong, because she certainly did a lot of things in her 100 years, but she certainly was a frequent guest on game shows over the years. We've drawn Betty White.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
If she didn't get the chance to host a game show, she should have.
Betty was on every game show for several decades. I mean, she was like the first person to be on TV, essentially.
Yeah, she was all over those celebrity game shows.
Absolutely.
I'm glad she got put into the tournament here.
Yeah, certainly Password was a big one for Betty White. In fact, she married the host of Password back in the day, Alan Ludden. Yeah, but she'd be on, Match Game, and she popped up on everything. And she was great. She was a smart, quick, very, very good player. Just a few years ago, she was still popping up on game shows. So Betty, got to consider a strong competitor. And of course, that's putting aside her entire, acting career.
True that.
But don't forget at the end, she did the We're Off Our Rockers TV bloopers thing when Practical Jokes.
I don't know that one. She did bloopers and practical jokes like Dick Clark?
Yeah, it was a very Dick Clark-like show, except it was all old people playing jokes on other on young people.
What?
Yes!
No, that sounds like fun.
Oh, no. They made a show with old people playing practical jokes?
Yes!
Hosted by Betty?
It was hosted by Betty White.
Oh, no.
That's beautiful.
Hang on, I think I might have to jump out the window.
You'd be off your rocker.
Wow. I love that. Betty ripped off Dick Clark. for practical jokes. But
and I dare say improved it.
What if it's all super old people? Was she playing pranks on Wink Martindale? That kind of thing?
Possible.
I think they were playing pranks on young people. But
it's old people tricking young people? Okay. And I guess we should mention she's a golden girl. Let's see who Betty is going to face. I've drawn, well, here's kind of an odd one, but we are all fans of Weird Al around here, and I believe we were all together once to watch Weird Al's movie UHF at
Dimension 2001.
At the Dimension 2001. We watched a live Rocky Horror-style performance of Weird Al's movie UHF. But I have drawn, there was a game show in the middle of UHF, and I have drawn, not the host, not the players, we've drawn to compete the Wheel of Fish. Yeah. This is Betty White versus the Wheel of Fish, and I assume our listeners have seen UHF.
Those who haven't.
This was Getty Watanabe, who is the kung fu instructor on the TV station in UHF, and he also hosted the game show, which did indeed have a wheel of fish, and it was actual fish on a Wheel of Fortune style wheel. And at the live version that we went to, they had a real wheel of fish, remember?
It was so well done.
It was disgusting. Well,
I could have looked at that wheel of fish all
it's
night.
Betty versus the Wheel of Fish. Let's see what in the world the competition is. Competition is, this might be a little tricky for the wheel. We've drawn cartoonist.
Oh, where's Vicki Lawrence for win, lose, or draw when you need her?
It's Betty and a wheel of fish as cartoonists. This is tricky. Has Betty, I'm trying to remember if Betty had any drawing, cartooning type experience throughout all her shows and projects over the years. Nothing is coming to mind.
She did have to draw or write stuff down on the cards for the match game.
That's true. If she was on Match Game, yeah, you gotta be able to scribble things on those cards. Good point. The fish, the wheel of fish, all different kinds of fish, all around the wheel, actual fish.
Well, by rule, remember from 2 weeks ago, the rule was we could bring people in who were adjacent. So, wheel of fish, we can bring in help out that poor wheel.
Yeah.
You know, Weird Al himself, or the host, or any of the contestants, or even the janitor guy. So.
Yeah, there's no shortage of talented assistants surrounding the Wheel of Fish from the movie.
But I don't remember any of them drawing in the movie.
No. I'm not sure that helps too much.
Or if you spin that wheel hard enough, those fish are going to go flying off, and the splatter patterns as they hit the far walls of the studio.
That's the cartoon everyone's hoping for right there.
Yeah.
I keep picturing the fish, each fish on the wheel with a pencil in its mouth.
Yeah, and a little beret.
Yeah.
That'd be adorable.
The problem is, the way I envision it, the fish are not moving unless the wheel's spinning.
Yeah, not a lot of life left in those fish.
No.
But I've met a lot of cartoonists, and they tend to just flop over like fish themselves. It's fine. I feel like we could kind of lean either way on this, but I'm kind of going Wheel of Fish. I like the idea of just spinning the wheel and just an explosion of fish somehow making a hideous cartoon that destroys the whole studio.
I've lived long enough to say that I've seen worse.
All right, it's a tough matchup, but in the interest of being completely ridiculous and moving the show along, we're just going to give this one to the Wheel of Fish. Betty White is out.
Why not?
We can do whatever we want. Let's move on. Up next, I have drawn, well, this is somebody that I have worked with personally, and this is a Boston guy who left Boston and went on to greater fame in the world of game shows. I've drawn Tom Bergeron.
Oh, we've talked about him a lot on this show.
And the really classic reason, not only is his game show stuff important, put him on this list, but for at least us in the Boston area, when you're stuck at home on a school day because you're sick, and then you've watched all of the game shows and you've ended with The Price is Right, maybe you suffer through a half hour of news, then what comes on? Tom Bergeron.
People are talking. That was Tom's Boston talk show. And yeah, you're right. That was all the game shows were done. And then it would be like noon or 12:30 or so. people are talking would come on. That it was like a Donahue Oprah format, but not obnoxious and hideous like those shows. It was actually a very nice show. And Tom was a fantastic and is a great, great host and broadcaster. And when he kind of broke out nationally, well, he went to the FX channel, their morning show Breakfast Time, you know, that I sort of appeared on a couple of times doing stupid things. So I did work with Tom. I got to meet Tom and do some silly things on his show a couple of times many, many years ago. And then he went on from there to be a game show host on Hollywood Squares.
My favorite.
Yeah, I never really watched Hollywood Squares.
I'd watch it if I had to.
I thought it was stupid. And again, that's not a knock on Tom Bergeron. I just could not understand that show. The preloaded joke answers, I just can't deal with that.
You know? And look at you now.
Look at me now doing this podcast where we script the whole thing out well in advance. The listeners probably don't realize we spend the weekend poring over the script and we fine tune it. And we are all three of us are carefully reading from our scripts right now. This whole show is planned out well in advance, just like Hollywood Squares.
Man, I loved that show. And you got a harsh my mellow.
Everybody loved it. I just did not get it. But Tom was fine as a host, of course. And then he got to host the even bigger show, that dancing show, the Celebrity Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Which I've never seen.
That just featured your arch nemesis.
I actually know what that means. I know what you're talking about. Because I listened to the Real Brady Bros podcast. And absent from the Real Brady Bros podcast for the last several weeks has been Barry Williams, who played Greg Brady, because Barry is currently, or was, I don't know if he's gotten kicked out yet, but he was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars this year.
I've only ever watched that show while I was on Vicodin. After I got my wisdom teeth pulled and I had no control over the remote control, I ended up watching many episodes of the Dancing of the Stars show.
I can claim that I've never watched Dancing with the Stars, but I did follow Barry's progress through it. You know, remotely, and Barry has since been kicked off the island, so to speak. He did play tribute to Johnny Bravo.
Oh, wow. Did he wear the suit?
He wore the suit.
Wow. I had no idea. On the podcast, they did mention that he went deeper into the competition than Florence Henderson a few years back competed, and Maureen McCormick also. So he's the third Brady to compete, and I think he did better than Florence or Maureen.
Yes, he did.
Good job, Barry.
But Barry is not competing.
Barry's not in this. And I don't think... now, Tom doesn't host that show anymore anyway, does he?
No.
Yeah, they switched out the hosts. But anyway, I know he hosted it for many years. I read his book. Tom Bergeron wrote an autobiography a few years back called I'm Hosting as Fast as I Can.
That's great.
And I read it. That's the kind of time I have. But let's see who Tom Bergeron is going to face. It's going to be Tom versus from Family Feud. And now Family Feud has had many hosts over the years. When I was a kid, it was Richard Dawson.
Right.
That creepy dude.
Kissing everybody.
Planting his big disgusting face on all the ladies. Yep. Richard Dawson. And then it was Ray Combs, who was very good. Ray was just all about just move the game along. He was funny, but he was not obnoxious and creepy like Richard. It was Ray Combs. And then several people since then. Louis Anderson hosted. Guy that was on Home Improvement with a beard hosted it. Guy that played Peterman on Seinfeld hosted it. And now the longest running host in the history of the show, I believe, is the current host. And so we're going Steve Harvey.
Wow. I didn't realize he was the longest running host, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, he's been doing that a long time now.
Of course, when I think of Family Feud, I think, like you, Richard Dawson. But yeah, Steve Harvey has just started to crush it. And, you know, not that I sit around watching watching the stupid show every once all the time, but it comes up in my feeds, you know, video, and yep. I'll watch a clip or two and say, it was really funny.
Yeah, I have not seen it in many, many years, but back when I used to go to the gym, which I quit my gym early in the pandemic, and I never went back. But back then, it would always be on. Like, I'd go in the afternoon, and one of the big monitors in the gym would always, there's Steve Harvey and Family Feud. But yeah, back in the day with creepy Richard Dawson, I was all in every night, and it was ridiculous. Well, this is Tom Bergeron versus Steve Harvey. Let's see what they're doing. The competition is Battleship, the worst game in the world, Battleship. Tom Bergeron, Steve Harvey. Ed, why did you put Battleship in the competition?
I really have no idea.
I'm just trying to spread the blame around.
He did it to rattle you, Kevin.
I didn't realize you had such a deep hatred for Battleship.
Ed, see me after the show. I have the whole list of things Kevin has a deep hatred for.
Oh, that's a long list.
Yeah, it is.
You keep that tacked right over your monitor?
I do, right next to the closing script for the show. Yes.
Yes, smart. How long has it been since any of us have played Battleship?
I have to confess I've played it recently.
Yeah, but you're around like the kids and young people more than I am.
There is that. But I've seen a live play version of Battleship where there's...
Play?
Yeah, so...
Like a Shakespearean
dramatic
multi-act take on Battleship? Where did you see this?
My favorite game show, Taskmaster.
Oh, okay. It's probably a segment on Taskmaster. Okay, gotcha. I was just trying to picture, were you at the bank? Where was this happening? Battleship. I mean, what's dumber than Battleship? Let's be honest. Unless you're cheating and moving the ships around, it's completely pointless, right? Am I missing something? Is there any point to playing Battleship?
They've redesigned the boards. You used to be able to kind of stick the ships on diagonally and really fool people, but now you can't do that anymore.
You could never put the ships on diagonally.
If you were creative enough, you could.
Oh man. I thought I was cheating moving the boats around. You're somehow forcing the pegs in so that they wrongly are going diagonally.
Yeah, it's one way to ruin a battleship game.
And then a friend of mine had Electronic Battleship.
Yes.
Back in the day, which is the exact same game, but with sound effects.
Yep.
And like a little graphic of a ship where a little red light would flash behind it. But you'd spend like an hour and a half just programming into the board the location of all your ships. The prep work involved was maddening.
Oh, so it didn't have a detector on it to figure out?
No.
Oh.
You'd have to type in the location. And like, I don't mean type in five things for the five votes. I mean, you type in for each point on the grid. It was nightmarish. They found a way to make Battleship worse. But today, it's Tom Bergeron.
I really would have loved it if the Wheel of Fish could have been competing in this one.
And Steve Harvey. Battleship. What's going on? Think this one through.
Well, this is tough because it seems like both of them have better things to do.
I am thinking of a way that Steve Harvey could have an advantage.
Okay, go.
If he's going to cheat the way Cornflake cheats, Steve Harvey could make a makeshift sixth ship out of his mustache.
Oh.
Yes.
There's an idea.
Tom would never see that coming.
I'm leaning toward Tom, though, because I'm thinking about the board for Hollywood Squares. And yep. You have to be strategic about where you get your X's and O's.
There is that. I think Cornflake's on to something there.
Plus, the Hollywood Squares episodes, I remember, at the end, you might win a car if you had the right key and you picked the right car. And nothing would make you want to drive away more than having to play Battleship. You just want to get away from it after.
Could Whoopi Goldberg be stashed aboard one of the ships? I'd put Whoopi on the aircraft carrier. That was the big one, right? That's the that's the five-peg boat.
You put her on there with who? Like Shadow Stevens?
Shadow Stevens, yes.
Jim J. Bullock, Joan Rivers.
Yes. Oh, Jim J. Bullock from Too Close for Comfort, of course. Yeah, Joan was in there. Gilbert Gottfried.
There you go.
Was our friend Betty ever on Hollywood Squares? I bet she was.
I think she was.
Now, Family Feud rarely would have celebrities. I don't know if do they do Celebrity Family Feud these days? I know they used to back in the old days. They'd occasionally have a celebrity version. But Hollywood Squares, it's an all-star affair. Yeah, we could load those warships full of really annoying celebrities. And they'd be unstoppable.
Stop it. I loved Jim J. Bullock.
So at Jim J. Bullock. Come on.
And it's all orchestrated by our friend Tom. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Tom Bergeron in control. So yeah, at first I was leaning towards my Steve Harvey mustache strategy, but I think Tom might have the edge with all his wacky celebrities and grid-themed game show experience. So
I love that you referred to it as a grid. themed game show experience.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little goofy tonight. Let's move on. We've got one more opening round to get through.
There can't be too many guys left or something.
There's two. I've got two slips of paper left here. And first I have drawn, this says CNR, as in Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, boy.
A mainstay among the celebrity panel on the Match Game. We had to have somebody from Match Game playing, and I thought, who's better than Charles Nelson Reilly?
Well, if you ask Weird Al, no one's better than Charles Nelson Reilly.
Weird Al did a whole song, CNR, of course. I loved Charles Nelson Reilly. He was fantastic. And yeah, Match Game. The other big show for me with Charles Nelson Reilly is from Sid and Marty Krofft, the late, great Marty Krofft. We just lost this week. Sid and Marty Krofft, Lidsville. He was the villain, Hoodoo, on Lidsville.
Because of course he was.
Doing battle with a world of living hats. It was magnificent. Such a goofy, wacky character on all his TV appearances and stuff. And yet also, he was a real serious, dramatic actor, like stage actor. And I think America didn't really know that, because all we ever saw him do was be a goofball on game shows. But super talented guy. But it was kind of a secret.
He kept that hidden from everyone.
It was his darkest secret.
The best thing to do with talent is to hide it. That is how I live my life.
Yeah, get off the Broadway stage and just go sit in a studio with Gene Rayburn making boob jokes. That's what America wants from Charles Nelson Reilly. After Lidsville, he also did a kids' show, Saturday morning show for Filmation called Uncle Croc's Block. And nobody remembers that show. It was ridiculous. Charles Nelson Reilly is going to face our final contestant. There's only one slip of paper left in the mug. I have drawn from The Price is Right. Not Bob Barker. Not Drew Carey. Not any of the beautiful models pointing at cars and TV sets. We have drawn the little yodeling guy who climbs up the mountain.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for this.
We should do a shout out, though, to Mr. Barker. He was really the inspiration for, at least for my thinking about putting this this thing together.
He's the whole reason you thought of this? And look at that, he's not even playing.
He's not even playing!
Although he could step in with an assist for the yodeling guy, if deemed appropriate.
Yeah,
I don't think the yodeling guy is going to need any help. I think the yodeling guy is going to crush whatever we pull out of that mug.
You're already favoring the yodeling guy over Charles Nelson Reilly.
And I'm not embarrassed to admit it.
Wow. I have met the yodeling guy.
What?
Yes. Not to brag. I was making my way through the crazy crowds at Dragon Con one year, and suddenly I'm face to face with the Price is Right yodeling guy. There was a dude in costume as the yodeling guy.
Did he have a portable mountain he was climbing on?
He had a soundtrack with him. He had the yodeling music playing.
That's perfect.
Yeah, the guy was carrying his own background music. So yeah, I met the actual yodeling guy from Price is Right. And so yodeling guy is playing against Charles Nelson Reilly. Let's figure out what these guys are doing. What if the competition is yodeling? That'll be a slam dunk. Let's see. I've drawn. The competition is Wacky Weatherman.
Yodeling guy all the way.
I mean, I could see both these guys excelling in the field of Wacky Weatherman. We should point out that we do have a weather professional on the show right now. And so I'm certainly going to give more weight to whatever Cornflake has to to say about this competition than the other two goofballs on this call. But Charles Nelson Reilly is certainly wacky.
It's true.
And could certainly do a magnificent job as a wacky weatherman.
Good point.
And I think that really plays into Charles Nelson Reilly's style, where he'd be wacky. But if you're going to be a weatherman, you also have to be like a serious scientist and look at the charts. And the
No, that's not true, Ed. That used to be true once upon a time. Now you just have to be a beautiful person. That's all.
But that wasn't what the competition is. It is a modern weatherman. We want goofy weatherman. We want, Al Caprillion. That's who we're after here.
So here's what I'm thinking, and hear me out.
Yeah.
Yodeling guy goes up the mountain, but he never comes down the mountain, right?
Well, no, it falls off the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you go too high, he'll climb too far, and then he crashes and dies painfully.
So you can have yodeling guy represent rising and falling temperatures. The thing is, you'd probably be missing some other data that you want out of your forecast.
Is the yodeling guy wacky enough, especially compared to Charles Nelson Reilly?
The yodeling guy, unfortunately, is not enough of a completist for this job.
Yodeling guy does one thing, or I guess two things.
Yeah, he handles the temperature part. I think he could be a sidekick for Charles Nelson Reilly in this.
Yodel guy is climbing and yodeling.
Yeah.
That's it.
I hear he yodels louder the hotter it gets, but he's not up for the challenge.
I mean, Charles Nelson Reilly with the goofy hats and the necktie things and the pipe.
He can say partly sunny and the yodeling guy can't.
I think he's going to be a yodel-ay-hee loser here.
Yodeling guy is just going to yodel. I think we've got... I hate to lose the yodeling guy.
Let me just say, though, the yodeling guy could just yodel and be more right about the forecast than some of the forecasters on TV now.
That's very true. I think we got to go CNR.
Yep.
Yodel guy is out, and that means we are moving to the next round. Opening rounds are done. No more new players. Now it's reruns. And our first matchup will be Vicki Lawrence versus the Wheel of Fish.
The matchup of the century.
I've been waiting for this moment my entire life.
This is what America has been clamoring for. Vicki versus the Wheel of Fish. We've already determined that Vicki is an expert food taste tester, so she could try all the fish on the wheel.
Red snapper?
Yeah, the red snapper is the best. We have drawn for the competition middle school math teacher. That's oddly specific. What made you suggest a middle school math teacher, Ed?
I have a friend of mine up here, a middle school math teacher, and for some reason he just came to mind. So,
is your friend a Wheel of Fish by any chance?
No, and he's not Vicki Lawrence either.
Oops. Okay, Vicki, Wheel of Fish. I mean, the Wheel of Fish could certainly help teaching, say, counting.
Yep.
Because look at that, you know, count some fish, kids.
Multiple fish.
Now, Vicki, as her mama's family character, I don't think she could deal with kids for long. I think that she would be very impatient and disgusted by all the idiotic children, and they would equally be miserable with her. I think kids would really have a good time with the Wheel of Fish.
You can't argue with that logic, Kevin.
It's perfectly sound logic that a Wheel of Fish would be a better math teacher than a human being like Vicki Lawrence. Okay, again, this is another upset, I think. But the Wheel of Fish, I believe, is going to advance over Vicki Lawrence. That means up next we have, it's going to be Tom Bergeron versus Charles Nelson Reilly. And bizarrely, the competition is pharmacist.
Not what I would have expected for this clash of the titans.
Ed, do you have a friend who's a pharmacist?
I have no idea where that came from.
You've been playing too much Dr. Mario.
I have a friend who's a pharmacist. Not to brag. Tom versus Charles Nelson Reilly. Pharmacist. Absolutely bizarre. What are we doing?
A flop fight! That's what we're doing!
It's a flop fight where nothing makes sense anymore.
Well, we're bringing drugs into this. That's what we're doing.
Now, I gotta say, back on Match Game, those celebrities on Match Game, I think it's safe to say they were rather chemically altered. And you can tell, as the story goes, because, you know, game shows, they would tape a week's worth of game shows in a day. And so, like, they do, like, say, three episodes, then there'd be a lunch break, and then two more episodes. And that was just the standard production schedule back then. And it is claimed that the shows that they would record after lunch, you could tell that the celebrities were imbibing in some beverages and such during that lunch break, because they would get even tipsier and crazier towards the end of the week, which was just, you know, that afternoon. So they could use a pharmacist on the set of Match Game, I would think.
You make an excellent point, Kevin. I'm on board with that theory.
Tom Bergeron's shows, well, I suppose they were just as crazy over on Hollywood Squares. Certainly the old Hollywood Squares, pre-Tom Bergeron, like the 70s Hollywood Squares with Paul Lynde. That show also was notorious for celebrities, you know, just boozing it up. It might have been a little more under control in the Bergeron era. But back in the Charles Nelson Reilly match game era, things were wild. And if Charles Nelson Reilly had the ability to fill some prescriptions, who knows what they would have been up to.
I think it's the problem is that if you're a bad pharmacist, bad things will happen. By the nature of this competition, we don't want somebody who is all boozed up. We want somebody who can accurately control the situation so that, you know, you're prescribing just the right amount of medicine so that, you know, so that you would have a lively game show like we have here tonight.
Oh, where's the fun in that, though? We're trying to get out of control and have a ridiculous...
Apparently, Ed doesn't know what I'm on at the moment.
We're all highly caffeinated.
No one said that the competition had to be good pharmacist. Yeah,
that's an excellent point. It just says pharmacist. I think Charles Nelson Reilly would be a terrible pharmacist, and that's kind of why I want him.
I think he's the man for the job.
I want him to get the job. Yeah.
Oh, he cannot deny that he would make things much more lively.
He would have everybody believing that they were in a land of living hats, just like back on Lidsville. I think we got to give pharmacist to Charles Nelson Reilly.
It's the responsible thing to do.
The only move we can make. And that means we're up to the semifinal round now, and that's Charles Nelson Reilly still versus the Wheel of Fish.
What have we done?
Who could have ever seen this coming?
We've created a monster.
Yes.
A monster fish.
A Weird Al monster.
CNR Wheel of Fish competition is convenience store clerk.
Oh, this is easy. Wheel of Fish.
Explain your thought process, please, Cornflake.
So convenience stores don't normally have meat displays, but stores in general do.
Meat displays? Is that what you said?
I don't know what you call them. Delis? Okay.
Meat display.
Meat displays. You know, where they display the meat.
Well, they've got that thing like with the hot dogs sitting inside, you know, cooking for the last 37 years. You see those in convenience stores.
Yeah, they've got that.
Those look good. Why are we talking about meat displays?
Well, when you go to the grocery store, you could purchase fish. And I just think it's more likely that you'd find fish in a store that sells food than Charles Nelson Reilly.
What do you think would be more obnoxious and unpleasant for people coming into the store? The disgusting fish on the Wheel of Fish or the pipe smoke coming from Charles Nelson Reilly? Because he was always smoking that big goofy pipe on Match Game.
Wouldn't that be a fire hazard if the convenience store also had a gas station?
Oh, yeah. They're in a heap of trouble right now, especially because, remember, Charles Nelson Reilly is also a pharmacist, and who knows what he's on.
Well, if he's a pharmacist by day, he could work the convenience store at night if they have, like, a vape counter or something.
Oh, he would love a modern day. If only he had lived to see the vape shop world that we're currently suffering in today. He'd really be in his element, I imagine, as a pipe enthusiast.
I think Cornflake's onto something with the convenience store and the Wheel of Fish, because there is a very nice visual element to you walk into the convenience store and there's the wheel, you spin it, you grab your junk, and then you go.
One fish has a Slim Jim, one fish has a pack of cigarettes.
And Wheel of Fish is really cost effective here.
One fish has like the scratch-off lottery ticket, whatever you want.
Whereas Charles Nelson Reilly is just going to be bizarre. And a Wheel of Fish would not.
A convenience store couldn't afford to hire Charles Nelson Reilly.
There is that.
So take down all the help wanted signs at the convenience stores and install a Wheel of Fish. Problem solved.
We've established that the Wheel of Fish knows math. Therefore, they can do the adding, they can take the money, but it knows how to do this.
Wheel of Fish is working that register.
Wheel of Fish is qualified for
this. Sounds like we're overwhelmingly going Wheel of Fish over Charles Nelson Reilly. So here we go. That means the Wheel of Fish has destroyed all the other competition in this week's Flop Fight Part 2, which means now we move to the final round. All humans have been eliminated from the game show Flop Fight. It's Fish v. Muppet at this point. The Wheel of Fish from Weird Al's UHF movie versus Sesame Street's Guy Smiley.
It's everything you would hope for out of the climax of a flop fight.
Let's review the path to the finals just to kind of reset here. The Wheel of Fish started at the beginning of this show. It was the Wheel of Fish taking down Betty White as a cartoonist. Then the Wheel of Fish advanced over Vicki Lawrence as a math teacher. And then, of course, the Wheel of Fish just now took down Charles Nelson Reilly by being shockingly effective in running a convenience store. Back in Flop Fight Part 1, the Guy Smiley knocked out Regis Philbin in Round 1 by boxing a kangaroo. Guy Smiley then took out Monty Hall in running a marathon. And finally, Guy knocked out Vanna White in building a lobster trap tree. And here we are, Guy Smiley, Wheel of Fish, one more competition for the whole flop fight. Interestingly, I have several competitions still left in the coffee mug, because Ed, you sent me more competitions than we needed. So I've actually got some extras, so I don't know which one I'm going to draw. Do you want to see what we're not doing first?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever I'm going to draw right now, we're not doing. Because I think I've got three left. So let's pick out two that we're not doing, just to kind of guess what might have happened. I've drawn yodeling. Wow, yodeling was in the competition, and we had the yodel guy. Oh, man.
Don't tell the yodeling guy. He's going to be sad.
Ed, did you put that together? Like, when you put yodeling in as a competition, were you thinking of Price is Right yodeling guy?
No, I was not. That was your take on the Price is Right.
See, you supplied the yodeling. I supplied the yodeling guy, but the yodeling guy did not get to actually yodel in the competition, and thus he's a loser. Let's see. We are also not doing Etch-a-Sketch.
I think it's probably good for the Wheel of Fish.
The Wheel of Fish would have destroyed Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah, that seems like a strength for the Wheel of Fish, certainly versus Guy Smiley, because how's a Muppet going to work in Etch-a-Sketch?
Right, and yodeling Guy Smiley would have taken easily. So now we're one for one here, so this is it. The tension is building.
All right, now here's what we're actually doing. This is the one that counts. The final competition I've drawn is Antique Picker. This is in, what is this?
It's in like the American Pickers show, or people that go around going to yard sales, finding stuff and flipping it.
Okay, these are antiques collectors, people that are looking for junk and old valuable stuff.
Yes.
To flip on eBay. Gotcha. Antiques. Who's better in the world of antiquing? Guy Smiley, Wheel of Fish.
Now I really wish we were back to yodeling.
I wish Vanna White was still in the competition.
Yeah, this is a bizarre one to end on, especially considering who the final two competitors are.
But here we are. We make the best of it, and we move forward.
These contestants, they seem more like things that you'd find
yes.
in an antique store, you know, buried in the back. Suddenly you stumble upon the Wheel of Fish from back in 1989. Or look at that, there's a Muppet in this box in the corner of the shop. But no, these are the guys actually doing the antiquing. Guy Smiley, Wheel of Fish. How's this going to work?
Not well.
Well, I think, no, you're right, Kevin. They're both like antique-like things.
Yeah.
Takes one to know one, so.
Now, Guy Smiley is more of an antique, right? Guy Smiley certainly predates the Wheel of Fish.
And I think Guy Smiley would be a little more traveled, a little more... Yep. Of the world, to have gone around, seen quite a bit of things.
And Guy Smiley, though, would also be much more well-preserved than the Wheel of Fish, I think.
I also remember Guy Smiley hosting on Sesame Street, This Is Your Life.
Sure.
So he'd have a good sense of things from history.
A much better sense of history than the Wheel of Fish.
Than absolutely. A wheel. Yeah, when you're up against a Wheel of Fish, it's not a tough competition.
I do like the visual of Guy Smiley like bursting into a flea market or an antique store, just with the big booming voice.
And a microphone, holding a microphone.
Got the microphone, sure.
I think a Muppet would be very good at finding the hidden gems in an antique store.
He'd kind of disappear behind boxes and stuff, and there'd be stuff flying up all around him as he's picking through boxes of junk.
That's what everyone wants to see in an antique store.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be a disaster. But yeah, I think that'd be fun. I do like the idea of Guy Smiley poking around looking for antiques.
Yeah, and the Wheel of Fish is just just rolling along.
Wheel of Fish would come rolling into the antique shop to the horror of everyone around it.
Things would just get stuck on the wheel as it rolled through. It'd be kind of indiscriminate.
And there's no math needed. There's no, you know, Slim Jims needed from the convenience store. It's just not working.
Yeah, I believe Guy Smiley is going to take this whole thing.
Are we ready to declare America's favorite game show host, Guy Smiley, the winner of the Flop Flight?
I believe we can. We're calling it for Guy Smiley.
I'm not even a little disappointed about this. This is lovely.
No, that's a strong, solid, well-earned victory in, I'm going to say, one of the most bizarre flop fights we've ever had.
It's great that such a weird flop fight yielded such a lovely result.
All right. Congratulations, Guy Smiley. And you know what? We got to wrap this thing up. We've been running a little long tonight, I think. So, Cornflake.
Oh, no.
Get us out of here.
Okay. Find us between shows at flopcast.net, on facebook.com/flopcast, on Mastodon, universodon.com/@flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. If you would, we'd love it if you might leave us a rating and or a review. You could do that over on Apple Podcasts. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Ed, remember our final Sponge Awareness album, the one that finally drove us out of show business? It was all yodeling. That did not end well for us.
No, it did not.
But I think as a people, we're better off.
Yes, we are.
In the long run. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us for a flop fight. Ed, thank you for coming up with the idea for the game show flop fight and joining us for both halves of this thing. It's been too long since you stopped by here in Chickentown, so this was great.
Yeah, and if I could plug just, since I do stop in only occasionally.
Yeah.
You can find me at the Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington Railway Museum up in Alma, Maine. We're going to be having our Steam and Sleighs in February. Come on up and ride the train, and I'll even yodel.
We'll have a link to Ed's train stuff as well. So yeah, find Ed and ride the trains.
Because you can.
Yeah, let's do it. And yikes, we're going to have a lot of goofy holiday stuff coming up in the next few weeks. It's going to be goofy. Stick around with us for that. And meanwhile, everybody, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never ever listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Okay, this is the secret after show, and we're all still here, just celebrating along with champion Guy Smiley. But we did have a weird thing to bring up, because Ed, moments before the show started, you texted us a bizarre photograph. You've recently come into the possession of something weird.
Yeah, well, you know, it is the holiday season. And it is a time of giving and the time of receiving. And recently I received a precious, just lovely gift from my daughter, Emily. And, yep. You both know Emily, but Emily is...
Sure.
She's just as weird, as wacky as her dad. And she gifted me for my birthday a box. It was a box, not a bag. I'm sorry. But it was a box. And in the box were Spam socks.
Spam socks.
Spam socks.
Sounds extra cushiony. Who wouldn't want to walk around on a cloud of spam all day?
It's not a material that leaps to mind as being conducive to footwear. But yeah, you'd think you'd be slipping all over the place and it would be like as disgusting as a wheel of fish. But does it work? Are you wearing spam socks right now?
No. I kept them in the can. I mean, boxed.
Yeah, we're looking at a photo of the spam socks right now, which Ed sent to us.
I imagine if you fry them, you get slightly better traction. You just brown them a little bit on the bottom before you walk on them.
And now, we have some history with spam,
we do.
You and I. Because we back in the old Sponge Awareness days when we would go out and perform our rock and roll music for the kids. And yeah, we incorporated Spam, like actual cans of Spam we would have on stage with us every night.
Yeah.
It became a way to fill time as needed between songs while you were working all your tech stuff. Yeah, I would juggle 3 cans of Spam. So yeah, it became a standard part of the Sponge Awareness live show back in the day. Spam juggling.
And that's how you ended up with Tom Bergeron.
Ultimately, I worked with Tom Bergeron as a Spam juggler, yes.
And it all comes together.
It's all coming together. And I feel like at this point, I just really need a pharmacist.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.